Yes to Life show. My guest today is someone you've very likely heard of, as she's made a name for herself internationally through her books and her courses. She's Brandon Bays, originator of a unique mind-body healing technique called The Journey. Today, I'm speaking to her at her home in Wales. Hi, Brandon. I'm so pleased to have you on the Yes to Life show.
I'm thrilled myself to be on it.
So this show's all about integrative medicine for cancer, or to put it in layman's terms, an all-inclusive approach, taking in all the possibilities of both conventional and complementary medicine. And one of the things that's getting increasingly acknowledged in the world of integrative medicine is the importance to recovery of the mind and the spirit, particularly in the case of life-threatening illness. So your own story is an incredible one from this point of view, in that I believe you worked, at least initially, almost exclusively in this area. Is that right?
Absolutely, I did. I worked in the area of emotional healing. And what I found, Robin, is that when it comes to our cells, one of the things that science has found, and it's why integrative medicine has become so very popular in these times, is that when we feel a strong emotion and we repress it, it releases a biochemistry into our bloodstream, which will go to certain cell receptors and block them and render those cells incapable of communicating with the rest of the cells in the body. And if over time illness happens, it happens where the cells are blocked. And conversely, what's also known about our cells is that, and our emotions, is that when we feel our emotions just very naturally and freely and openly, like children do, our cell receptors remain open. And so because this has been scientifically discovered, we all know that there's an emotional component to illness, a corollary to illness. So there's a factor that contributes to our physical state and our physical well-being. And so the journey, which was born from my own direct experience from healing from a very large tumor, was born from my own experience of going on a journey inside myself and uncovering these old repressed cell memories, these old emotions that were stored inside the body. And I went through quite a radical process of releasing the stored consciousness, releasing the emotions that were stored there, coming to an understanding of what had happened in my life, and ultimately forgiving what had taken place, so that when the new cells were born, they were born devoid of that old consciousness. And so the journey, the work that I do, works directly with both your emotions and your cell memories.
Right. Okay, well, look, can you just give us, I mean, you've probably told this story a million times, but can you just give us the kind of headlines of your own story? What happened to you, and what did you do about it?
Right. Well, I was 39 years old, got diagnosed with a basketball-sized tumor, and I was already in the integrative medical field and was certified in many different areas of health. And so I was living, breathing, doing everything that I believed I should be doing. And I'd done a lot of work on myself emotionally as well. So I was a vegetarian, eating organic food. I was working out every day. I was meditating every day. I was getting regular acupuncture. And I was a master herbalist and a kinesiologist. And more important than all those things, I was at a point in my life where I'd been married for 18 years in a marriage that I was deeply fulfilled in, had a job that I was passionate in, where I was teaching thousands of people how to create vibrant health in their life. Right. And I gave the Living Health Program, which was the health portion of the programs that Tony Robbins was giving. Mm. So you could say that I was walking my talk, living, breathing, doing the work on myself daily and living it. And the reason I give this background is because even though I was doing all those fabulous things for myself, I still got ill.
Mm. Must have been very confusing to you at the time.
It was terrifying, truthfully. Mm. It was terrifying because, you know, obviously I had to go to, and I went to a medical doctor who was an integrative doctor. And when she did the diagnosis, it was not a good prognosis because she said the tumor had gotten so large that it was crushing my other organs and that I was bleeding internally. And that I needed to get to the hospital that day to find out, is it benign or malignant? But it wasn't going to matter. I had to have it surgically removed. And when I asked her and I said to her, please, I'm in the alternative health field, in the complementary medical field. Please, I need to be given a chance to give it my best shot, at least try some of the areas that I'm certified in. She said to me, Brandon, I'm certified in the field of complementary medicine alongside my orthodox medical practice. And she said, if you look at all the books that are lined up here on my shelves, there's not a single woman there who has successfully healed herself from a mass as large as yours. And she said, though I may wish you well, you need to get real. You're going to have to get this surgically removed and right away because you're bleeding internally. Mm. And I begged for time to be at least try to give it my best shot, not knowing if anything I would do would work, truthfully, Robin. And finally, she agreed that if through, let's say, medical hypnosis or homeopathics or NLP, if I could get the bleeding to stop in the next 3 days, she'd give me a month. And so that month was quite a spiritually, emotionally, radically healing and liberating time for me. And I was really catapulted on quite a journey inside myself because I was already doing everything I believed in. And one of the things I was so grateful for at the time was all the research going on in the field of cellular healing. And I'd studied with all the people who were at the cutting edge at that time. And one of the things that science knows is that our cells all replicate at varying speeds. So, for instance, if you have a suntan, you'll notice your tan fades in 3 weeks' time. Well, that's because literally the old cells slough off in 3 weeks and are replaced by new cells. And the same is true for stomach linings, 3 days, livers takes 6 weeks. And uterine cells, we all know that takes 4 weeks. We all know what happens once a month. And what had been discovered up until that point is Chopra, Dr. Deepak Chopra, at that time he was not the guru that he's become today. He was a medical doctor, a surgeon, who was chief surgeon general in a hospital in Massachusetts. And he did a radical thing. He decided he would study patients who had healed from serious illness without drugs or surgery. And he amassed hundreds and ultimately, by the time I met him, thousands of case studies. And he found that he could only find two things that they had in common. Mm-hmm. One was that through some act of grace or spontaneous event, they got access to this that he called the infinite intelligence, the part of you that makes your heart beat and your eyes shine and your hair grow. And the second quality that they had in common was that through some act of grace or spontaneous event, they actually got access to this that he called the cell memories. And what we know about those cells is he was looking, let's say, at a cancer patient who had cancer in January. Well, we know that the cells replicate themselves. Every 6 weeks, you have an all-new liver. And he asked the question, well, why is it when you look at a liver that's riddled with cancer in January, why would it be riddled with cancer in June? Good question, since all the old cells were replaced by new cells. And what he postulated at that time, which only has subsequently been verified by science all over the world, is that stored inside the degenerative cells are these old repressed cell memories. And before that cell dies, it passes on its consciousness, its programming to the next cell generation. So the next cell generation is born as an exact replica of the previous cell generation. And this goes on your whole life long. And in my case, I knew all the science. I had seen that people, according to the case studies he'd read, that people who somehow spontaneously got access to these cell memories and somehow released the stored consciousness and come to some sort of understanding, when the new cells were born, they were born devoid of that old programming, right? So I knew all the science, but I can tell you something. Mm-hmm. You can know all the science on the planet. You can know, see all the statistics. You can read all the science. But unless you have a method, it's nothing more than a bunch of pictures on a page.
I was going to say, yeah, you've got the ideas, but then you had to find out what to do.
Yeah, and that was the gift of my own life-changing radical healing experience, was I realized I was being called to go beyond any of the teaching, the methods that were out there. And I was invited by my soul, and I did find a way for all of us to go on our own healing journeys, to literally open into the infinite intelligence of our bodies, and at the deepest level of being, at the being of the soul, to turn the torch on inside and literally go on a journey inside to these blocked cell receptors, which will allow you to then uncover what's stored inside your body, go through process of releasing that stored consciousness and really letting go and coming to understanding, and then ultimately forgiveness. And somehow when there's forgiveness that happens, that's when you let go of the old consciousness. And so when new cells are born, they're born devoid of that old consciousness. And so that's what my healing journey entailed. And 6.5 weeks after I'd started, I ended up in hospital, Cedars-Sinai Hospital in California, and ended up having all 43 pictures taken of my uterus, and I was pronounced textbook perfect clean. And so now these days, I was just reading, just the other day, it was about a week ago, someone sent it in on a Facebook, YouTube, scientific report that they've now understood that there's three different kinds of cancers that they know are very, the medical field has found are very difficult to heal if the person is incapable of forgiving. If the person is holding on to a lack of forgiveness, holding on to blame, holding on to hatred, holding on to anger, that those illnesses, those three different types of cancers, are very difficult to heal.
What are those three?
You know, I don't have them here in front of me. No. I wish I did.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's there's a lot of research going on right now with the emotional corollary that emotions have with the illnesses, the long-standing diseases.
Very interesting. Okay, so you'd say, by conventional standards, self-healing abilities of the human body, they're kind of largely ignored. I think this has got a lot to do with practitioners wanting to take the credit for healing you rather than saying you did it yourself. But I think there are many who'd point to this as being possibly the greatest shortcoming in conventional medicine, and possibly the biggest thing that integrative medicine brings in addition, if you like, to orthodox medicine is its embrace of this one factor of the whole mind-body connection. Given that, you know, that every single circumstance is obviously different, but overall, how important do you think this inclusion of the mind-body connection is in medicine?
I feel that it's essential, that I feel that our bodies are healing machines. They're designed to heal. You get a cut, and immediately all the lymphocytes, phagocytes, they rush to that area and to start mending literally a single cut, and that our bodies are designed to heal. And that what we're being invited, I think, by life is to start participating in that healing experience. And yes, I do believe the body is capable of healing itself, and it also is benefited by outside intervention. So it can be benefited by medical intervention, it can be benefited by emotional intervention, it can be benefited by food intake, lifestyle intake, living healthily. It's this divine healing potential that exists in all of us. can be benefited by all areas, which is why I'm actually training a lot of medical doctors in the field of integrative medicine to address the emotional aspect.
So let's. I'm interested to find out more about that. So you're training doctors in ways of relating to their patients, for example?
No. Specifically helping the patients uncover the emotional root cause of what has co-created the illness. So, for instance, I was just with a medical doctor in Australia in January, and he's actually the one I go to have all my blood tests done, and he does do the journey. He's been through the whole journey practitioner program. And if someone comes to him, let's say, and they're on antidepressants, and he'll just ask them simply, how is that working for you? And if they say, actually, the drugs aren't helping me, he will just say to them, would you be open to possibly getting to the emotional root cause of why you might have depression? And then he will offer them journey work, you know, or he will have a journey practitioner, if he doesn't have the time, give them the journey work. And so this is why the journey is being used integratively alongside of whatever else people are undergoing. You know, if someone comes to me and they've said they've been diagnosed with cancer, the first thing I'm going to ask is, you know, what has your medical doctor said? What program are you doing? What are you doing for your nutrition? What are you doing for working out? What are you doing for fulfilling yourself, feeling that you're using your creativity in life? And then I'll say, and what the journey is about is getting to the emotional root causes, the shutdowns that have happened, ways you've shut yourself down, and getting to really uproot that, clear that out, so the natural healing potential that is here for all of us can work its magic as it does. So I do agree with you. I love it that you've got an integrative medical program here on air, because it's inclusive of all the methods, which I am. My sister has two PhD in oncology research, and she's actually executive director of oncology research for one of the top pharmaceuticals in the world. And in reading the journey books, she said, yes, I am very fully aware, not just of the biochemical effect of cancer, but of the emotional corollary. And so she gets journey work from me whenever she's undergoing anything physiologically.
Right. How interesting. So basically you're training doctors then to be practitioners of the journey as well.
Yes, to, alongside their whole large scope of, of what they offer. They should be offering, you know, things in the field of nutrition, how lifestyle changes, you know, with stress. Yes, they should. I mean, a good integrative medical doctor is going to be looking at the whole picture.
So let's talk about the journey now, because can you maybe tell us a little bit about the training program? You've got two things. One is you're doing direct things, help for people who are in difficulty themselves, and also you're training people to be practitioners to help others,
So for instance, if you work for the Dutch government in Holland, for any of the ministries, and you have work-related stress, the only clinic they will send you to is one that offers the journey, because it's known through governmental tests to get to the root cause of what is creating your work-related stress. So it's about really getting to the root of what is happening on the surface and clearing it out at the deepest level so that they can come back to work and function in a healthy way at work. And so the journey work is being used by people from all walks of life, also by ministries. I work with ministries of education, ministries of health around the world. And also I'm working with medical doctors. And mainly I'm wanting for the everyday person, no matter what your business is, to use the tools and the method to go on your own healing journey, to really learn what it is your soul's here to learn, to clear what you're here to clear, to let go of what you're here to let go of, and to allow the body and the being to come home to a sense of peace in yourself.
So do you have any sense of what proportion of the people who come to you do so primarily because they've got a physical problem, and how many come to you because, from their point of view at least, they feel they've got a psychological and emotional problem? Is that something you know?
I don't know. You know, I would say when I am at a journey seminar and there's, you know, let's say there's a couple hundred people in the room, I'd say that I'm aware of about 30 of those people. So 15% will actually have some, receive some sort of prognosis, diagnosis in some area of their life, you know.
Right.
And I would say the other 85% are aware that they're not living fully.
Right.
They're not living life fully. And, you know, they've got their ducks in a row, and yet somehow their life doesn't feel fulfilled.
Right.
And they're wanting to clear whatever shutdown or whatever is limiting them or whatever's blocking them emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, on any level.
Mm.
They're wanting to liberate their lives, to live more authentically from the true self, from who they really are, from just allow the joy, the peace, the love that is our own essence to live their lives.
Mm. Okay. Well, yeah, I'll say actually for myself, I was offered a session of the journey with a practitioner, and just from any point of view that I'd like to use it. And I had a couple of things that I felt were possibly limiting in my experience, as I thought, well, it'd be great if those didn't really impinge on me. Because I was actually concerned it might impinge on Yes to Life and my ambitions for the charity. And one session, I have to say, made an extraordinary difference.
It is amazing that what the journey does, and what was such a radically life-transforming experience for me, was I always had a difficult relationship to emotions. You know, an emotion would come up, and most of us, when an emotion comes up, we smoke it away, we drink it away, we watch television, we get on Google, we get on, the radio, or we call a friend, we literally are on the run from feeling emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what I learned through my own direct experience was that our emotions are actually the gateway to our own soul. And one of the things that it allows you to do is to befriend yourself and really let your body reveal to you in a very natural, practical, and spontaneous way what's really here. And you end up opening down through layers and layers of emotions until you come to your own origin, to the essence of who you really are, to the love and the peace and the freedom that is your own essence. And it's at that deepest level, at the level of the soul, that then the journey work takes place, where you go through literally a journey through your own body, and you're letting your body reveal to you what's taken place, what you want to let go of, and it's a way of coming to resolution and peace in your life, so that when new cells are born, they're born devoid of that old pattern. And so I, truthfully, Robin, I get a journey process once a week when I'm on tour.
Right.
I never want to be so complacent or, God forbid, so arrogant as to think I've got it all handled. I know there's more than one cell memory stored inside this body, and I feel it is a real privilege to clear anything that might put dust on the diamond that is all of our essence. And, you know, in my own first spontaneous journey experience, when I opened into the infinite intelligence, that's the nice medical term that Chopra gave it. I call it source because it's a nice non-religious term for profoundly spiritual realization of feeling connected to all of life, to the universe. And when I opened into this that I called source, and I was guided to the cell memory that was stored inside of me, I thought, it cannot be this one. You know, having been a therapist, studied psychology, been certified in so many fields, you can imagine, you know, it was a memory of childhood abuse. Now, having gone through 8 years of therapy.
Right.
You've been there, done there, got the blooming t-shirt on. I've so got it handled.
Mm.
But it wasn't until I really, really opened with it and that I was able to release all of it, the pain, the rage, the fear, all of it, and come to an understanding of what had taken place. But when I forgave, something happened for me. Forgiveness happened spontaneously for me in that very first process. And it's like until that time, I'd always accepted the fact that I grew up in a domestically violent household.
Right.
It's probably what pushed me into this field, you know, of healing and health. And so I'd, you know, done work on it, thought I'd handled it, cleared it. And I'd accepted my past, and I think that's what most of us do. We kind of accept this is what happened, and then we sweep it under a carpet, mm-hmm. which is kind of what I did. And in the journey, I was invited to reopen, and the actual cell memories just rose of their own accord. And in that, I was able to really, truly release the stored consciousness and the pain that had been suppressed and explained away by my mind.
Right.
Do you know how our mind can say, I understand?
Absolutely.
Parents were stressed and la, la, la.
Mm.
But the body and the heart and the being still have the stored pain of it. And so part of the healing, my own healing journey, was to open up and release all that pain. And then when I forgave, I realized, you know, this tumor's never been clinging to me. I've been clinging to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized when I forgave that my blame game, you know, my story of being, having understood, accepted, being all compassionate and understanding, that that was just a big cover-up job for a blame game that I had been running for 30 years,
right.
dressed up as compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wholeheartedly forgave, it's like the whole story of blame, it just finished itself. And so when new cells were born, they were born devoid of all of that old consciousness. And there is a healing power in forgiveness. And there's a reason why it's in every single spiritual tradition and religion I've ever had the privilege of diving into and delving into. And there is some sort of healing that takes place. So the journey does involve not only uncovering cell memories, not only releasing and experiencing and letting go of the stored consciousness, but also coming to a place of wholehearted forgiveness. And I do believe there is a magic in that.
Mm. So this is a bit of the silver lining, if you like, of a crisis of like cancer that so many people describe, really, isn't it? It does actually bring their whole routine to a stop. You know, everything stops and they actually do get a chance to just look at reality straight in the eyes and do actually change something at that point. And I feel that's what you're describing, that you're able to actually completely see the whole picture of where you've been before and go from there. And it's interesting how much weight you put on the forgiveness side of it there, because I think that is a very important thing for an awful lot of people because there is so much abuse around. You know, your story is not uncommon, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And there's such a lot that people do have stored up in that way.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not just abuse. I mean, verbal abuse, physical, sexual abuse, but it can also be mental abuse where kids, you know, one man here in Britain, he didn't have cancer, but he was an owner of an IT business, which he was very successful in life. And he came to me because he had fear of public speaking, and he wanted to get to the root cause of it and clear it out.
Right.
Because every time he would stand in front of the board of directors, he'd have to give the annual report at the end of the year, being chairman of the board, mm-hmm. owning the company. And even though they would have, you know, had a very successful year, he'd get up to speak in front of the board, and he'd fall apart.
Mm.
this was his company and it was successful. And it was so interesting to me, Robin, where when we did the journey, he got to a cell memory of when he was 8 years old, and he brought his math exam home to his dad, and he'd gotten 98% on the math exam. And his father said to him, yes, but where's the other 2%? Mm. And at that point, he just got it. Right. Nothing I ever do is ever going to get Dad's approval. Mm. And then here he is, a successful businessman, wealthy, has all his ducks in a row, and he stands up in front of a board of directors, and it's as if he's going to be standing in front of people, and where's the other 2%? You know, and he's never going to get their approval. So he can't even open his mouth and he blows the speech. And this is what I meant, where abuse can become in so many forms. And in that case, sort of a mental abuse where he was being, you know, his self-worth was being undermined to a degree that he could never succeed, no matter how successful he was, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I never, what I love about the journey is that I never tell someone what they're going to find inside their bodies. I called it the journey because it is your life's journey. And it's for your own soul to really reveal to you what's going on inside and for you to learn your own life lessons and to understand what's taking place and to forgive. And I always say that the journey is about the guru within. It's not seeking answers from without. Is finding whatever answers you're here to learn inside yourself, the truth within yourself. And so it's just a method for people to come home, to find peace in themselves and to clear those issues that they're here to clear in this life so they can live more freely, more wholesomely, more openly, more truthfully, more authentically expressed as themselves. Mm.
And, yeah, of course, that's completely crucial for really getting back in the driving seat to actually make yourself well if you've been ill as well, of course, rather than, you know, you may be perpetuating some self-destructive cycle you've been in forever.
Absolutely. One of the things I've found, Robin, is that sometimes when there's been a chronic and long-standing illness, I like to take someone through what I call a life's purpose process. Hmm. And to really uncover why it is they came in this time, what their soul is here to learn, to give to life, to learn from life, to, you know, why it is they came in. Because often when people have a purpose, that is enough to make them want to turn their lives around. But if there's a purposelessness, i.e. there's really no reason to live, then I find that the motivation to want to get to the emotional root cause of what is really driving any particular illness or emotional block, there's not a motivation to do that. Mm. But if there is a reason to be here, you want to be alive, you want to learn something, you want to grow in yourself, you want to experience the fulfillment of life, the love in life, then that can be a drive big enough to really catalyze that person to want to make the changes that need to be made.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right, yes. So, about the journey itself, for people who are interested in getting some help for themselves, they have kind of two routes to go. One is to actually come along to major events, is that right? And the other is to go to practitioner?
There are numbers of routes to go, actually.
Yeah. Okay,
Robin.
Let's hear them all.
The first thing is I always suggest that people read my first book, The Journey.
Right.
And the reason is because in the book I lay out the whole journey I underwent, and the subsequent journeys that other people underwent. And you can see for yourself whether this work speaks to you or not. I feel it's essential that the essence of yourself, who you are, that it says, yes, actually this work feels right for me. I feel people need to choose it for themselves, because when you've chosen it, then you know, all doors can open up for you. So the first thing is to read it, see if it appeals to you, if it speaks to you. Then you can get yourself to a journey intensive, or you can get yourself to a journey practitioner. There are even online programs where you can go through a series of programs in your own living room where they take you through different processes, and you'll be supported by a coach from the outside. And so there are all kinds of ways to support yourself in undergoing the work. And the difference is, you know, it's so funny, you know, you bring up what are the avenues with the journey. I was just in Basel in Switzerland 2 months ago. And there was a woman who came and went through the journey intensive and then through the whole practitioners program 10 years ago. Now, she came to the journey and she had been diagnosed through her whole adult life in her 20s. She's a young woman in her 20s. She was 28 when she came to the journey. And her whole through her 20s, she had depression, but it was anxiety depression. So she had this blanket of heaviness over her, right? Mm-hmm. And then she also had anxiety attacks that were coming through multiple times per week. So it's called anxiety depression. And she had gone through years of psychoanalysis and psychological treatments and, of course, was on a cocktail of drugs by the time she showed up at the Journey Intensive. Mm. And when she went to the Journey Intensive and she thought, oh, I just want to learn some information. Well, the journey doesn't work like that.
Right.
You can't just want to learn information. You have to be willing to undergo and experience the work. And as a result, she tried to run out when the people were doing the process works. But one of the trainers caught her leaving the door and said, listen, I'll give you a process. And she was fearful that she would get it wrong, you know. And so she didn't want to work with just a participant. And so she was literally out the door, running away when she was found. She had went to the journey work, and she did the full 3-day event and was feeling somehow more at peace with herself. But she didn't come to heal from depression, even though she'd had it for up to 10 years at this point, right? Her whole adult life. And she was driving home back from Basel to Germany, where she lived, and she started to cry, and all these cell memories just started releasing and releasing and releasing and letting go. And since that day, since her first Journey Intensive, she has been living in a perpetual state of what she says is peace and bliss, where she feels at home in her own skin. Mm. Obviously, the drugs then were able to fall away naturally. And she just said the reason she serves as a trainer is she wants to somehow give back to other people, to let them find the same peace and the joy and the freedom. And there's not a day that goes by that she doesn't thank God that she came home, but that she did the work. And I'm saying this because so many people love to hear, they love to get on a radio show like this, learn the information and the science and what's happening in the field. And yet there's, I think, a deeper invitation being made here, that it is an invitation not from me and not from Robin. But if you're listening to this, it's an invitation from your soul to come home and to clear whatever blocks you, whatever shuts you down, whatever in any way limits your life, so you can live more fully as your true self. And so that's what my invitation would be to people. And however you do that, you can't just learn about it. You've got to experience it. You've got to undergo the work. No one can know what your life's journey is. You're the only one who can uncover your own truth, find your own answers, discover your own freedom, and release all limitations. No one can do that for you. They can support you as you undergo your own journey, but that is your journey. And so I really am making an invitation to listen to your own heart, to listen to your soul, and heed the call to heal your life and to set yourself free.
Well, amen to that. Definitely. Absolutely. I mean, you're right. It's an experiential thing. Anybody who doesn't have the courage to really take a look is not going to benefit, are they, unfortunately? So, yeah. But there's so much there for people, isn't there?
There is so much there. And I do believe that life is the journey, that it is our soul's journey. And we're here to really clear anything that might obscure living fully as ourselves. And that's emotionally, that's physically, that's mentally, you know, that's spiritually. It's on all levels of being.
So this is a program about cancer.
Yes.
But in one way, it doesn't really matter what the doorway is to actually doing that piece of work, whether it happens to be cancer, whether it happens to be depression, or anything else, right?
I was referring to something that's been diagnosed and is long-lasting disease. That's, you know, that's why I used a depression example. I mean, there was one woman in a 17-year-old in Auckland, New Zealand, who really captured my love and captured my heart. And she had three brain tumors, Robin, and they were inoperable. And if they were to operate, she would die. And she was given a year to live. And her mother was beside herself. She just didn't even know how to cope with the fact that there was no hope for her daughter and no intervention available. Someone just dropped a journey book into the mother's lap, and she read it and she gave it to the daughter. And the daughter just said, I'm going to be just like Brennan. I'm going to get to the root cause of what has created these tumors in my brain. A year later, they didn't even know that there were journey seminars. And a year later, I met them at a journey intensive, and she'd had her MRI scans done, and there was obviously no evidence of any tumors anymore. And she came to the journey intensive, and what had happened is every week they did a journey process together, innocently, just reading from the book and doing the process work right from the book. And they did it once a week for a year, and she was completely free. And it was actually the mother who we had to do a lot of work with at the Journey Intensive, because she had had all this terror for her child's life, and of course had to keep it under wraps. And we know what happens. You suppress that fear, you keep it under wraps, it releases the biochemistry, which goes to our cell receptors, blocks them. And so we worked, you know, the whole 3 days with her, with the mother, to finally get her mother into a place where she could then also heal. So it didn't show up as illness sometime later on down the line.
Yes. Well, of course, it must be a huge role for your work with carers, because carers, as is well known, it's quite often a worse situation for the carers than actually for the person who's ill.
Absolutely. I mean, I just came back from New York. I'm from New York City, but my mom lives in upstate New York, and she's 95. And she now, in the last year, got dementia. And there's all the carers who are caring for her. And I know for myself, it was very stressful, Robin, that, you know, I went to go see her, and she didn't recognize me.
That's tough.
You know, and it's an invitation for another journey work, you know. And so, yeah, it's tough on carers, and it's tough. My mother lived through World War II. She never talks about it. She's Viennese from Austria, and she never talks about it. You know, my grandfather was shot through the head in Nazi prison, and about what happened to her during that time. But what's happening now is the night terrors are happening, and she's speaking in German, and all the pain that had been suppressed all these years is spontaneously coming out at the nighttime. And, you know, from my journey perspective, I so wish she would let me work with her. And yet she even though she has read the books and all my books and loves the work, she's too afraid to close her eyes. She's terrified of closing her eyes to undergo a process. And so here I'm watching now her cells literally releasing wartime trauma during the night as she's screaming all night long, you know. And this is why it's so important to undergo our journeys before they show up as illness.
Yeah. So at this point, the journeys, it's a massive international movement. I don't know how many countries you're working in. Do you know off the top of your head?
I do. We're currently working in 46 countries.
46, right.
It's translated into 26 languages.
Wow.
So I'm
it's huge.
Yeah, I'm usually, I live here in Wales. Mm-hmm. It's my base, the European base. But in any given week, I'm in 2 to 3 countries a week. Wow. Here in Europe.
Yeah. So you must be rightly proud of what you've managed to achieve. I wonder what your personal aims are at this point. Do you have more you want to do?
Always, you know. My husband, he first came to the journey diagnosed with depression and on Prozac and dimazepam and diazepam and, you know, on a cocktail. And he cleared from depression completely, and it was considered to be genetically inherited, so therefore incurable. But using the journey, he completely found his way home to great fulfillment and joy, and he's able to feel all his emotions now. And so one of the reasons depression has come up a few times in this cancer radio show is because we're currently writing a book called Goodbye Depression. And yeah, and I'm really excited about it. It's coming out first of all places in Germany, mm-hmm. and then it'll be coming on to all the English-speaking markets and all the other world markets. But it's I'm feeling very inspired by it because my own dad had depression my full life, and he ended up taking his own life, and so I wasn't able to save my dad then. But I do feel that I'm able to offer really effective and hugely liberating tools and process work for people to completely clear depression from their lives. And so, yes, it's a little bit why the depression word has found its way into this particular
flavor of the moment.
Yes, the flavor of the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I'm wanting people to heal every area of their life.
Right.
And obviously, the journey's been used in a lot of cancer centers. And because of my own story, it often is the topic that gets discussed. But it's really for every kind of physical illness or emotional shutdown or mental pain that any of us suffer.
Mm. Okay, well, look, I've probably just got time to ask you one last thing. I run a charity, as you know, and I see you've also got a charitable foundation, the Journey Outreach. I wondered why you founded that and what its aims are.
Okay, well, the aim of Journey Outreach is to reach out to people who could never afford a book,
right?
Let alone a seminar. So we've had over 100 programs that we have sponsored in South Africa. And so, for instance, we worked with something called the Pilipepa Train Project. And that is a health train. And in a lot of tribal communities, they cannot afford medicine. And so what happens is the train pulls into the tribal community. And if you need an operation, you can go on board the train and there's an operation theater. If you have mental illness, then you can go see the psychiatrist. If you've got some sort of emotional shutdown, well, then you can come see the journey practitioner. And then once the train pulls out, then at the behest of the Ministry for Education, journey practitioners come and train all the school teachers in journey work. And the reason we've been asked to do that is because they did a year set of case studies. It's all on a documentary that's wonderful to watch online called Making a Difference.
Okay.
And what it is, they found that the children that got regular journey work were averaging 91 to 93% pass rate on their exams, where those that were not getting it were averaging 67%, even though they were all getting the same ABCs in maths and sciences, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not that the journey made them more intelligent. What it did is it cleared their blocks and their shutdowns and their limitations so that their natural shining potential could be expressed. And children are naturally so creative, so intelligent, so wise, so shining. And so all that the journey does is it's not a process of addition, it's a process of subtraction, where we subtract away all those limitations so that the natural potential can shine. And so we've had projects, over 100 in all the countries, many, many countries in Africa. In Australia, we've worked with the Aboriginals, in New Zealand with the Maoris, and in Canada with the First Nations people, the Canadian Indians that were there. And it's actually been adopted by the government there and the elders of that community, and is used to help clear addiction to drugs and alcohol and abuse, which is rampant in those kinds of areas. And also we do work with orphans in India to, it's not that we can feed them or house them, we don't have enough money, but we can train the social workers to clear what emotional blocks that they have so that they can begin to be at home with themselves. And so the Journey Outreach is about helping people to come to a place of peace in their lives.
Sounds great. And
tell me about your particular charity.
It's called Yes to Life. We're actually helping people in the UK to access integrative medicine. So probably the biggest single thing we do is people call us up, we'll get them some personalized information on kind of the things that they might consider for themselves. And this narrows it down from, you know, X billion results on Google down to the things which actually could be useful to them, which is an impossible task to try and do on your own, really, and I've tried it. And I say that was probably the front-running thing we do for people that actually helps them to get out of a disempowered situation where they haven't got any options, and to get them into a position where they have got some. And we help them financially as well, if we can, and if they're in need. So that, along with as much education as we can manage of the public into the fact that there are a lot of options for widening what cancer treatment looks like, that keeps us pretty busy.
That's beautiful. It's a wonderful, wonderful work. I mean, that's exactly what I did when I was diagnosed. I looked at every area that was possible for me, from cleansing to nutrition to acupuncture to kinesiology and herbs and homeopathics. I looked at the whole picture. And in my particular situation, and I'm not saying that's true for everyone, that getting to the emotional corollary was the most important element for me. And yet I do not disregard all the other things I did that are so supportive. And I'm so glad you're giving them and making it available that they have all the different areas that they can look at.
Great, thank you. All right, I think we're going to have to call it a day. That's all we've got time for, but it's been really great to talk to you, and I'm sure there's listeners out there are going to love to hear what you've had to say. You've homed in on one particular area which is often ignored, and as I would agree with you, is incredibly important in this whole, for people who are in that kind of crisis situation.
Absolutely. So, even if all they do is clear whatever is frightening them about their situation,
exactly,
so that they can, from a clear place, look at their options and choose wisely and appropriately for themselves. I mean, just clearing that kind, because it's terrifying.
Absolutely.
I was terrified, having been certified in all these fields, and I get that sick. I was terrified when I got the first initial prognosis. And it's always good to look at the whole picture and to use whatever effective tools are out there that speak to you.
Great. Thanks very much, Brandon.
Thank you very, very much. And many blessings with your charity.
Thank you. Look at the Yes to Life website, yestolife.org.uk. Click Media Centre in the left-hand sidebar and then choose UK Health Radio for links to items mentioned in today's show. Please follow Yes to Life and myself on social media, and do take a look at our new book, The Cancer Revolution, which is selling really well and attracting lots of positive feedback. And here's some news of a special offer from Brandon.
Her Journey Intensive Seminar in the UK is from the 28th to the 30th of October at Sunningdale Park Hotel. Listeners can obtain a discount of £50 off the full price, which is £395. Just ask about this when booking. Please join me again next week for another delve into the world of integrative medicine for cancer. Goodbye.